world was made through him.
The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The creator of the world was not recognized, received, or believed by his own people. You and I as human beings get so caught up with our desires, with our agendas, with our vision of the urgent things of our lives, that we don't recognize, we don't receive, and we don't really believe anything that conflicts with our concerns. How would you have responded when Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." How would you have responded to Jesus when he said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him"? How would you have responded when Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day"? How would you have responded when Jesus said, "I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins"? If you had heard all of that from Jesus' mouth, would you recognize him as a Son of God? How? How would you do that? Would you receive him as God's only Son? How would you do that? Would you believe that he told the truth, so that you would believe in him? Why? Why would you do that? Jesus made it clear that these are eternal life and death questions. If you and I are concerned only with this life, then Jesus and eternal concerns are irrelevant. They mean nothing. They're pointless. But if Jesus is God's only Son, and if he told the truth, then you and I must give Jesus' statements serious thought. Jesus made a claim about himself. The Gospel of John in chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6. It's a statement that all people in all places and all times, in all cultures, have to consider seriously. And it's a question that people in all times and places and cultures that have heard it seem to have tried to find a way to reject. Jesus said to his closest followers, his disciples or apostles, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with me. You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a bold statement, isn't it? No one comes to the Father except through me. Human wisdom differs with that statement. Human wisdom says one way to do something is as good as another. Human wisdom says there are many religions in the world, and they're all just different ways to lead to God. Human wisdom says all good people go to heaven. Human wisdom says if God is love, he won't send anyone to hell, if indeed there even is such a place as hell. So promoting one way as the only way from the viewpoint of human wisdom is wrong, is judgmental, and is divisive. Don't we hear that all the time? Everyone, including you and I, want to believe what human wisdom says, don't we? I mean, really, in our heart of hearts, don't we want to believe human wisdom over what Jesus says about himself? The thing of it is, if we convince ourselves that human wisdom is true, then you and I avoid conflict and effort in urging people to believe in Jesus. Isn't that what we want? We want to be comfortable. We don't want to have conflict with people. We don't want to get them angry at us. We don't want to have breaches of relationships. But then there's Jesus. And Jesus says that human wisdom about all these other ways is a lie. If we choose human wisdom, then what we're choosing to do is to rebel against God. So Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's not only a bold statement, that's a definitive statement, isn't it? And that's a statement that sets Jesus apart from every other person, every other religion, every other philosophy, every other way of thinking. One gentleman wrote this on his blog. "A few days ago, my wife and I spoke with a Buddhist man who said that Christianity was bigoted and an intolerant religion. His rationale for making such a statement was grounded, or so he said, in the fact that Buddhism has a canopy which embraced all religious truth equally. Christianity was bigoted because it did not place equal value on each spiritual or philosophical assertion, even if the competing claims were mutually exclusive." In other words, in complete disagreement with one another. The technical word for his view is religious pluralism, and we hear about that a lot today, don't we? In other words, to assert one belief system to be true and another to be false constitutes intolerance. Did you know that you are intolerant? This conception of intolerance has become widely accepted in Western culture. When a truth claim is made, it is necessarily exclusive, but not bigoted or prejudiced. Exclusivity in this context simply means that not all possibilities can be correct at the same time. If I can tell you that you can go right and you can go left at the same time and get to the same place, something's wrong, isn't it? As the apologist Walter Martin stated, truth, by definition, is exclusive. If truth were all-inclusive, nothing would be true. That makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus claimed to embody everything that matters in life. That's a pretty bold statement too, isn't it? He claimed to embody everything that matters in life. A personal relationship with Jesus answers all our problems. And that's a pretty bold and far-reaching statement too, isn't it? But when we get into Scripture and we start reading about what God has to offer through Christ, we see the truth of it. Only Jesus can be the master of life, because in his intimate relationship with Father God, he created life. That makes sense too, doesn't it? One biblical scholar offers this reasoning about Jesus' claim there in Matthew 14 and verse 6. Jesus is the way to the Father because only he has an intimate knowledge of God which is unmarred by sin. Jesus is the truth because he has the perfect power of making life one coherent experience, irrespective of its ups and downs. And Jesus is the life because he was not subject to death, but made death subject to him. Jesus' follower Paul reminded his protege Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." If Jesus' claim of exclusiveness is true, then no one comes to Father God except through him. No one else is a mediator between us and Father God. And no other religious system gets anyone to Father God. Who is Jesus? We've been talking about that these past three Sundays. Who is Jesus? You know, that seems like a silly question to be posing in a church building that is largely filled with people who already believe in Jesus. But do we know who Jesus is? And do we have the misconception that everybody knows who Jesus is? Who is Jesus? He says he is the only way and the only truth and the only life, the only one through whom we can come to the Father. That's why Jesus urged people to believe in him as teller of the truth, not of a truth, not of something that sounded like truth, not an opinion, but the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help him, Father God. That's why he urged people to believe in him as God's Son and their Savior from the eternal punishment that's due them for their sins against God and others. That's why Jesus' follower Peter boldly and publicly proclaimed this about Jesus: salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So why are some people so dead set unwilling to believe in Jesus? It's because The attitude of unbelief is not simply an unwillingness to accept a statement of fact. It's a resistance to the revelation of God in Christ. After his ascension to heaven, Jesus' followers told a large crowd in Jerusalem, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." These people that were hearing this had seen Jesus do these things. It wasn't simply a matter of hearing him teach some things that were bold, or seeing him get the better part of the religious leaders, of the lawyers, of the religious law. It wasn't simply his debating abilities or his storytelling abilities or the power of his conviction. It was the miracles, the wonders, and the signs which were greater evidence even than his teaching of who he was. But you and I haven't had that opportunity. The best we can do is read about these things, about Jesus' workings and his teachings and his life. But like those people then, 2,000 years ago, we must make a faith choice. Do we believe in him? Do we believe him or not? Do we believe Jesus is the only one and the only way to come to Father God or not? It is a faith choice. And those who would say, I don't have faith, have to realize it's not a matter of not having faith, because every human being has faith in something or someone. And by virtue of that, they may not have faith in something or someone else. So we make a faith choice. Is the faith choice in the revealed word of God and in his revelation through in Jesus Christ? Or have we chosen to believe in something or someone else and therefore refuse to believe in Jesus? If we believe that Jesus tells the whole truth, then we will admit that we are sinners. We'll admit that we deserve God's punishment. We'll admit that we must be saved from punishment for our sins. And we'll admit that belief in Jesus as God's Son and our Lord and Savior from our sins is both necessary and life-changing. But that's only if we know who Jesus is and why he came and of the love that he showered as a conduit of God and of what he did out of that love, and that and that alone was God's message of salvation. That will lead us to repent and to be baptized, to be purified from our sins, to be adopted as God's child, and to be united with Jesus. Then you and I will eagerly and earnestly imitate Jesus' life of love, God's love among humans. Who is Jesus to you? Was he simply a wise teacher? Was he a special rabbi? Was he a prophet? Was he a fake? Or was he the Son of God, sent by Father God to this earth to be the only way and the only one through whom we can come to God? If you have not yet taken on the mantle of being a Christian, by expressing your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior, and the Lord of your life, if you've not yet repented of your sins, if you've not yet been united with Christ through baptism, what is keeping you from the only way to be saved? However we can help you, we urge you to come forward as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.